The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
To a hot start after last night. We'll be talking about the Colts' big win and Phillip Rivers. Welcome to NFL Live. So much to get to with some intriguing games coming Sunday. We're going to be into all of them, but later on, why one person here thinks this game right here must win for the Rams. One of them, it could be Ryan Clark, it could be Marcus Spears, could be Mina Kimes. They're all with us today. And let's get right to it on a Friday. Mina, give me a matchup you're watching on Sunday.
I am very excited to watch Bills cornerback Tre'Davious White, seen here, against star wide receiver on Arizona, DeAndre Hopkins. You saw last week Hopkins go toe-to-toe with Xavien Howard and reaped a ton of pass interference against him. I think Trey White's going to shadow him all game, and I am curious to see who gets the better of this matchup.
Joe Burrow, tee it up, baby. You got the Steelers defensive front. Joe Burrow has a large drop-off when he's faced pressure. This season, the young rookie quarterback has had some sensational moments. He's going to have to be sensational for the Bengals to have a chance.
You know why I like this show? Because my teammates get open. My teammates make plays. If I drop a dime, I know they're going to score with a big play. You know who doesn't feel that way? Cam Newton with the New England Patriots skill players, and they're going up against the Baltimore Ravens. If they can't create separation, if they don't give Cam an opportunity to make plays, they're going to be in trouble. Baltimore Ravens secondary versus the skill players of the New England Patriots.
We'll try to catch every single thing you throw our way today, Ryan. Back to the beginning of week 10, the Colts took the lead in the AFC South with their win last night over the Titans. Key divisional showdown. Special teams failed the Titans. Phillip Rivers passed Dan Marino for the fifth most pass yards in NFL history. How does that sound, Mr. Rivers?
Yeah, it is special. It's special. And those guys up there on that list, I don't know that I'm in their category, and that's okay. But, you know, Dan Marino was on my wall. He was a poster on my wall as a young boy. And, you know, watching Dan Marino, meeting Dan Marino at the Senior Bowl, you know, playing against his teams, and it's all special. It's all just special and thankful that here at 38, I'm still getting out here and compete and play the game I love.
Big night for Rivers, but last night's win, crucial for Indianapolis. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, the Colts now have a 57% chance to win the AFC South this season after entering last night's game with just a 28% chance to do so. Of course, remember, these two teams will meet again in 2 weeks in Indy. So, Ryan, should we start taking the Colts seriously now? And that's talking to people who maybe didn't take them seriously before.
I mean, I think you take the Colts as seriously as you took them before this weekend. I think we've reached the time in the season where we don't have to go up and down with every win and every loss. This is who the Colts are. They play very good defense. If you don't pressure Phillip Rivers, he can throw the ball to open people. And if you're going to shank punts and allow punts to be blocked, they can score points. But this team is still limited in the pass game. If you put pressure on Phillip Rivers, he will turn the football over. And they can be scored on if you understand how to attack them. And so I still think they're right there with the Tennessee Titans, but not on the level of the Kansas City Chiefs, Pittsburgh Steelers, or the Baltimore Ravens. And we still have to remember, they have a quarterback that can't throw a Hail Mary and that can't do a quarterback sneak. So it doesn't matter if it's too long or too short, Phillip Rivers can't do it. And so that still scares me.
He really wouldn't do the sneak last night. I was watching laughing at home. Ryan, I agree with everything you're saying, but I was impressed by Indianapolis tonight. I was impressed by the roster and just how well Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts, has put this thing together. Because, yes, they have a few superstars, DeForest Buckner, Darius Leonard, but up and down that team, there are just solid football players on both sides of the ball. And you saw them contributing last night, guys who were undrafted, like, you know, Denico Autry, Grover Stewart. Didn't know guys were still named Grover in the year 2020, but apparently that's happening. Guys from this year's draft, which is looking really good, right? Like, you know, Michael Pittman obviously made some big plays. Of course, Nyheim Hines and Julian Blackman from this year's draft, phenomenal player. Nyheim Hines emerged as a running back. My point is this. They don't have to be awesome across the board. They just need to be solid, and this team is solid. They don't make stupid mistakes, and sometimes it's better, it's okay, to get a bunch of B pluses. Somewhere my Korean mom is at home shaking her head. But I think the Colts are a good example.
Ain't no
of
way
that.
You can get that. That's good for me. That's good for me. That ain't no mean or grades. Now that's great for me.
B plus average would have been the highest average in my family's history. Listen, y'all, this is the point, okay? What I believe about the Indianapolis Colts is what I saw last night is that they have to win games like this. And it won't be a block punt for 7. It won't be a shank field goal for 17 yards. We all know what this is going to come down to. This is going to come down to how well can Phillip Rivers perform against teams that's going to stretch and threaten his defense. That defense is elite now. They can play at a very high level. But we saw when the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson got it going in the second half, that the Indianapolis Colts could not contend offensively. They could not keep up. So my level of concern for Indy, I'm along the same lines with Ryan, it's about the same because it's really going to all boil down to quarterback play. I believe they have guys that can get open. I believe Ali Cox is a matchup nightmare. I think T.Y. can come on. We see Pascal playing well, but Phillip Rivers is going to have to be the difference. And I don't know if I'm telling anybody anything new. That's what the hell they signed them to do.
But
they
Marcus,
signed Phillip Rivers
Marcus,
to
you,
put
you,
them
you,
over where they could thought they could potentially go.
Yeah, but Marcus is exactly right. And Mina is right at the same time. That's why I tell y'all about my teammates. This team 2 years ago felt like they had the type of roster and could continue to build the type of roster that kept them that they were a quarterback away. That's why they were so hurt when Andrew Luck decided to retire, because they felt that they were great everywhere and they had the quarterback to get them over the hump. They found Brissett wasn't that guy. And I think they're going to find out down the stretch here, neither is Phillip Rivers.
All right, I'm going to be handing out report cards at the end of this show, by the way. So far, A-plus Mina, A-minus Marcus. And I would say A-minus to Ryan because your camera just broke up right there. But we'll see if you guys have time to get your report cards in toward the end of the show. Now, are the Titans a playoff team?
Man, they are right on the border there. And obviously, as you saw early on, their chances were hurt after last night. But the problem is, unlike the Colts, they're not solid across the board. That defense is full of problems. And special teams, we never talk about special teams because nobody seems to care and it's not fun. But guess what? It's the third phase for a reason. And special teams can lose you a football game, much like it did for the Titans last year as well.
Yeah.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ryan, what do you think about Tannehill?
Oh, that's Ryan.
It's supposed to be Ryan, but he was enjoying Mina.
To be going.
Go ahead, Ryan.
I was listening so well. I think when you look at the Titans, they're deficient. They're almost showing themselves as frauds, right? The team that we thought they were early on in the season, we haven't seen of late, whether it's the Pittsburgh Steelers loss, a loss to the Cincinnati Bengals, and now the Indianapolis Colts. We looked at Mike Vrabel's teams and thought that through the three phases of football, they would at least be good everywhere. That was that Patriot way. That was that tough Mike Vrabel coaching. But we haven't seen that in the last few weeks. It seems like they have a formula, and if that formula works, they can win. But with defense playing this way, they're going to have to do more offensively, and I don't think that this team is built that way.
Hey, Ryan, good save. Not paying attention in class there. You totally wrapped it up there. I'm going to stop with the teacher class analogies at some point in the show, or maybe I won't. Who knows? But either way, we got so much more coming your way on NFL Live today. Let's get right to it. We got Kyler Murray taking on the stingy Buffalo Bills in Arizona this weekend. Will Buffalo be able to contain the shifty QB, or will Kyler run wild? And it may be an NFC West battle when the Seahawks and Rams go head-to-head Sunday, but could it also be a battle of the offensive in and Defensive Players of the Year. We're talking Donald versus Wilson. That's coming your way on NFL Live. All right, I really am going to hand out report cards. You guys get ready, okay? Marcus is putting his school uniform on. We'll be back. Packers legend Paul Hornung has died at the age of 84 after a battle with dementia. Nicknamed the Golden Boy, the Notre Dame star became the first player to win the Heisman Trophy and later be named NFL MVP. Hornung won four NFL titles and was part of the Packers team that won the Super Bowl. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell released this statement saying, "We are deeply saddened by the passing of Green Bay Packers legend Paul Hornung, who thrilled a generation of NFL fans with his versatility, athleticism, and personality that made him a favorite of legendary coach Vince Lombardi." Lombardi, of course, said, "The most versatile man ever to play the game," about Paul Hornung. Rest in peace, Golden Boy.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The Vikings and the Bears, that's how Week 10 will finish right here on ESPN. They square off at Soldier Field in our Monday Night Football matchup, 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Our coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. And we've got a great slate of games this Sunday. None may be more intriguing than the Seahawks at Rams, featuring frontrunners for MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. And Russell Wilson is at the top of that MVP discussion, leading the league with 28 touchdown passes. He's currently on pace to break Peyton Manning's single-season touchdown record. Wilson, though, will be facing a familiar foe in Aaron Donald on Sunday, number 99. Currently tied for the most sacks in the NFL this season with 9. Has sacked Wilson 12 times in his career. That's his most against any quarterback. Licking his chops there. ESPN's Football Power Index sees this as a must-win game for Donald and the Rams if they hope to win the division, giving them a 30% chance to win the NFC West with a win, but just a 7% chance to do so with a loss. Here's how we see it shaking out. You see Marcus on the Seahawks, Mina's on the Rams, Ryan's on the Rams. I join Marcus on the Seahawks. So you heard those numbers from ESPN's Football Power Index. Marcus, do you think that this is a must-win for the Rams?
Yes, I do. But first, let me get something out of the way, okay? I apologize to Mina and RC and you, Laura. I did not get the memo. Why am I so damn
You are
dressed
so
up
dressed
today?
Up.
I have no idea why I did
that. I thought you were going somewhere McQueen, fancy man. After the show.
I mean, like it's an anniversary show or something. Anyway, on that note, Els, listen, I think I believe the Rams need to prove something to themselves. Like, this team has won 4 games against the NFC East, might I add, and they beat the Chicago Bears, who I always thought was a pretender. So for them beating Seattle, not only in the division to take a stronghold there, but they got absolutely embarrassed by the Miami Dolphins. This team needs a lot of juice. They need a lot of things to go right against the Seattle Seahawks, because then doubts start kicking in. The doubt of, can we really beat a good, are we really as good as we think we are? Can we really beat a good football team? And I know what the problems are with the Seattle Seahawks as far as the secondary, but Russell hasn't shied away from putting points on the board against everybody they played. So I think for the Rams' psyche and also for people to start believing that they are legitimately a team that can go deep in the playoffs, they need to beat someone of substance. Because me, you, Mina, me, Els, Mina, and Ryan, we can put a game plan together to beat the NFC East.
Well, yeah, we could. Go ahead, Mina.
Don't put me out there.
Well, first I'd like to say, Marcus, I think you're appropriately dressed because the Seahawks are starting a backup center against Aaron Donald. So being dressed for a funeral is right to talk about this matchup. On the other side of the football,
right.
I think it's a very interesting matchup because, yes, the Seahawks defense just got waxed by Buffalo through the air. But the Rams love to run the football, and Seattle's actually very good at stopping the run. So if I'm Sean McVay and Jared Goff, I turn up the pass style a bit in this game. Start off early with some play action, target those tight ends. This year, Seattle's defense is giving up 14.65 yards of play to tight ends, which is the worst in the NFL. That is berserk, okay? So I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams tight ends make a lot of noise in this game.
And listen, you look at this team and you look at what the Rams need to do coming into this game, and you hear Mina talk about the defense and talk about how many yards that they're giving up through the pass for the Seattle Seahawks, how easy it is to exploit them. But really think about the Los Angeles Rams and what they like to do. They like to start the game off with the run and then move into the play action pass with Jared Goff. Sean McVay can't get away from that. Sean McVay can't get into this game and see the big pretty openings in the back of the secondary and say, you know what, we're going to throw it. We're going to do this each and every play. Because if you go three and out, if there's some incompletion, if there's some pressure, now you put Russell Wilson back out on the field. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants to give Russell Wilson opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to cook. And when you do those things, you put your team in jeopardy. You put your team in trouble. And also, Jared Goff doesn't look good when you just drop him back to pass. Did you see him against Miami? Those dudes were teeing off. They had interceptions that were actually dropped for pick six. There was a fumble that was returned for six. Sean McVay has to control this game. He has to know who his quarterback is. He has to know the wide range of Jared Goff. Jared Goff is a guy that can win an Oscar. He can be all different types of actors. We could see him as the Jared Goff that takes the team to a Super Bowl, or you could see him as Jeff Fisher's Jared Goff. Find him somewhere in between by controlling him, Sean McVay, because if you get too excited to try to attack through the pass, I think you could be in trouble.
Yeah, and if you're Sean McVay, it might be kind of hard not to get too excited, because when you think about Seattle's defense, they've allowed the second most yards through a team's first eight games in NFL history. So he will be tempted to maybe throw it all over the field. We'll see what happens in that one. But let's get to Tom Brady and the Bucs, completely dominated by the Saints last time out. And all of a sudden, everyone pumping the brakes on the Bucs to the Super Bowl. So let's see, can they get right? A lot made about this. And Tom Brady talking about why they do need to get right.
You know, I think we all recognize we're not at a place where we can ever, you know, relax. We got to improve the urgency. We got to, you know, make the improvements faster, learn from the mistakes, and do a better job. You know, a lot of situations you're in over years and years, and, you know, we haven't been in those together. I might have been in a lot of situations, and Byron's been in a lot of situations, and BA's been in a lot of situations. Receivers here have been in a lot of different situations, but we're just trying to make it happen together. And you're going up against other teams that have a lot of continuity, and that's the disadvantage. But we got to try to make up for it as best we can.
I mean, we've seen frustrated Tom Brady on the sideline this year, and rightfully so in those moments. That's very reasonable. Tom Brady making a lot of sense about all this. But, Marcus, when you think about this, how much of the blame for the struggles with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers falls on Tom Brady's own shoulders?
I give him about 20% of the 80. And I'm going to be honest with you. B.A. and Byron Leftwich have not helped him. Like, first of all, this is not – Tom Brady's been in the league a long time. When Ryan played in the NFL, when I played in the NFL, you knew damn well when you got pressure on Tom Brady, he was going to struggle. That's been the case forever. And B.A. and Byron Leftwich keep wanting to throw 15, 20-yard routes down the field. They don't want to run a screen game. They don't want to figure out how to get this run game going. Like, it's all about the weapons and the talent. And I got to apologize to the American people because I'm dressed like a president today, so I said it that way. But the bottom line is this. You cannot put him in that situation at 43 years old. You cannot think that the talent is going to be good enough without continuity. Like, we talk about football from the context all of the time. You can buy championships in basketball. We've seen it happen. You can do it in baseball. We've seen it happen. You cannot buy championships in the NFL. They have to get this figured out right now. Now, Tom Brady throwing the ball across the field for an interception, yeah, that's dumb. Tom Brady throwing in the coverage, that's a problem. But a lot of this is based off of asking him to do things that he is not accustomed to do or not built to do with this team right now.
Marcus, I hate to do this to you because we are teammates. Didn't you say like a couple of weeks ago Tom Brady was the MVP? Didn't you say like Russell Wilson let him back in the race to be the MVP? And so now all he get is 20%. So it was B.A. and Byron Leftwich doing a great job then and helping him.
No.
Sure, go ahead.
No, I get to tell you.
Go ahead.
Mina next, but
go
Marcus
ahead.
First.
I don't want to cut Mina off. I don't want to cut Mina off.
No, for a second. Just be sure.
Ryan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, I'll talk then, damn it. Let me talk. Let me respond to the gentleman from Louisiana. Here's the deal, RC. When we looked at these last 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks against the New York Giants and also this shellacking that they got against the New Orleans Saints, what was different about them games?
Okay.
I mean, they adjusted in the second half against
Brady,
the Giants,
so?
But the Giants are bad. Daniel Jones all allowed right. them to be in that game consistently. It's been terrible offensive plans, RC. We've been screaming throw the ball to Grump. We've been screaming use the screen game.
The lady from
screaming,
California.
Have a run game. Go ahead,
like to
Mina.
Reclaim her time.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay.
Earlier we talked about how Marcus, your apparel made you fit to talk about Aaron Donald versus the Seahawks offensive line. Now I'm going to talk about how Ryan is appropriately dressed to talk about the Carolina defense.
Uh-oh.
Much like it looks like Ryan got his sweater at Gap Kids, this defense is full of children. And that's why Tom Brady is going to shred today. Now, they've got some great talented rookies. I love Jeremy Chinn. Y'all know I love Brian Burns. But this is a very different defense from the one we just saw in New Orleans. And I don't think Brady's going to have nearly as much trouble against them.
Ryan, is that towel used every day for you, or is that a different one? Comes out sometimes.
I got six of them.
It's upside
I'm sick
down.
Of the towel.
I have six of them.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it.
Myron Cope's terrible towel.
It's working out really well for you, and we're going to keep making you sweat on this show. We got more coming your way. We got to go to break. They're telling me. All right, Week 10 has brought us a head-to-head matchup between top 10 picks from the 2019 draft. Tua versus Herbert. Why some news this week made it much easier for one of these rookies to get the W. That's next. Ryan's going to use his towel in the commercial break. Mina just schooled him. Baby Gap. I can't. So we're actually completely evenly split for game picks for Chargers Dolphins. You can see it there. Marcus on the Dolphins, Mina on the Chargers, Ryan's Dolphins, and I'm on the Chargers. Marcus, the Dolphins ruled out some key defensive guys. Christian Wilkins on the D-line, Kyle Van Noy. They're on the reserve COVID-19 list. Is the pressure on Tua to shoulder that load, or is there more maybe on Justin Herbert to take advantage of a game and really close it out?
I still think it's on Herbert, Els, because, listen, we obviously Van Noy and Christian Wilkins are key contributors and do a tremendous job for the Miami Dolphins defense. But don't forget that Flores is a great defensive mind, and it's starting to show up in these games. And, look, Herbert has been sensational. He's been fantastic for the Chargers, even though it hasn't led to wins. But these type of litmus tests are the ones that young quarterbacks are judged by, right? And, like, we're going to see him deal with all kind of different pressure, deal with coverage, deal with guys playing man-to-man. We're going to deal with him having very little windows to throw the ball in. Now, he does have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and he has guys that can make plays offensively, but I'm looking forward to seeing how he responds to what Brian Flores is going to throw at him, and I think the pressure is more on him. Tua is still only about to play his third game in the NFL, and for as much as we have praised and as much as we look down the future, Herbert, we already think we have a sample size of what he is.
These two quarterbacks are playing two different games. Justin Herbert is playing a game where he's getting opportunity to come out every single week and prove to us just how good he is, that maybe he should have been the number one overall pick, or maybe his ceiling is higher than the two guys picked before him. But the game Tua is playing is a game of winning. That's the game that Brian Flores has the Miami Dolphins playing. They're going to play great defense. They're going to ask Tua Tagovailoa to make the plays that he needs in the critical moments. And that's what's important. That's the quarterback you want to be. So as Justin Herbert is playing great, trying to find a way to get over that last hurdle of winning football games, Tua Tagovailoa is trying to push his team into the playoffs and win the AFC East. So I'm excited to watch this battle, but these two guys have two different objectives.
Mina, why has Justin Herbert been so good for the Chargers?
Well, I see a number of reasons and advantages. One advantage, best uniforms in the NFL. I mean, yeah. Did you see last week the Navy with Ryan
100%.
Clark? I saw you tweeting about it. Those were fire. He's been incredible under pressure, which will be important this week because Miami brings pressure at the third highest rate in the league. Justin Herbert has the third best QBR when pressured. Okay, so that's strength on strength.
I also
think offensive coordinator Shane Steichen has done a terrific job of scheming guys open. When Justin Herbert has three wide receivers in a bunch for formation, he's 7-for-7 for 149 yards. Pulled up a few plays here. Watch Keenan Allen using the two wide receivers, create space for him. And then, of course, Allen, one of the best route runners in the NFL, just goes to work, gains over 10 yards on this completion. That's easy money. Now here, Allen does work on the rub route. And this time, Henry's going to get the ball and benefit from the traffic. Again, once again created by the bunch formation, 12 yards. You see this all the time with L.A. It's creating these easier opportunities for Herbert. It's not just crazy shot plays down the field, although he has an amazing arm. You'll see a lot of plays like that mixed in as well, and it's going to be important against a very, very good Miami secondary.
A couple of other injury notes, too, guys. Joey Bosa also out for the Chargers and Justin Jackson. Marcus, I saw you raise your hand, but we got to move because we got a whole other interesting quarterback matchup to get to for Week 10. Cam versus Lamar. Mutual respect is real between these two. Take a listen.
I watched Cam since Auburn. You know, everyone in the country did. Everyone knew about Cam Superman, you know, doing his thing. You know, and a lot of us looked up to him. He's a mobile quarterback. He do his thing. You know, he won the Heisman, won the college championship, won MVP, went to the Super Bowl, stuff like that. So, you know, I followed him a lot. Wanted to get to where he's at, and now I'm here. You know, now I got to play against him. So, just can't wait to, you know, do that.
Lamar got a gear not many human beings got. And just to see him take off, you know, I'm a fan of the game. And if I'm watching Baltimore, obviously I'm watching, you know, to see what the MVP gonna do. You know, I just respect this game so much.
Time now for some smart lineup decisions brought to you by IBM Watson. Marcus, what are you watching in Ravens Patriots?
I'm watching Cam Newton against this front seven. We talk about Baltimore and we laud them. We talk about Lamar Jackson and what this offense needs to do to get better, but we all seem to forget how good this defense is. And I know we don't because we talk about it and we inundate it with watching them on film, but Cam is going to have his hands full. And I'm not taking anything away from what the Jets are, and I like the performance and the fact that he can finish, but this is about to be a different animal coming at him this Sunday.
Yeah, Marcus, one of these teams is a contender. It's not New England. So I'm excited to watch the Ravens offense and to see if they can build on what they did in the second half versus Indianapolis, using play action to get the passing game going in the middle of the field where Lamar Jackson excels. Can they do that again against New England consistently? Because they're going to have to do so going forward.
Lamar Jackson, always a good move for your fantasy team. Coming up next on NFL Live, it's the Cardinals versus the Bills, two of the best mobile quarterbacks in the NFL going head-to-head. Buffalo has had some trouble stopping the mobile QB lately. Will it be more of the same with Kyler on the loose in AZ? We'll be right back. Kick off your Week 10 NFL Sunday Countdown, 10 a.m. Eastern with the Countdown crew on ESPN and the app. Record-setting comebacks across the league. They'll explore the mystery of momentum, plus the best mic'd-up moments from the season's first half. They also, of course, have the early breaking stories, injury updates, and preview each game right up to kickoff. One of the games they'll be talking about, Bills taking on the Cardinals, and Josh Allen against Kyler Murray is going to be real interesting. Lamar Jackson may have been the best dual threat quarterback in the NFL last season, but in 2020, it's been all about Murray and Allen. They're the only two QBs with a 15-plus touchdowns through the air, 5-plus touchdowns on the ground. Murray leads all quarterbacks in rush yards, while Allen ranks third in pass yards. Clearly, neither of them make it easy at all on opposing defenses. Here are our picks for this game. You see Marcus, Mina, Ryan on the Bills. I'm the lone Cardinals pick over here, but I really do think that Kyler Murray can do something against that Bills defense. So, Ryan, we'll start with you.
Who needs this one more?
I believe it's the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals have good wins this year. They beat the San Francisco 49ers early on in the season before they got injured. They beat the Seattle Seahawks. But this team needs to show that it's more DeAndre Hopkins. They need to show that they can walk into the game with the flash and the dash and they can look good, but they can also produce. This is an opportunity to show that they can truly be in the end of this NFC West run as the season winds down. They play a very good offense. The defense needs to step up and make plays, and they need to find ways to finish. The offense moves up and down the field, but when it's time, in the critical moments, they need to show up in this game to beat the Buffalo Bills. I'm very excited to see it. It's going to be high scoring, but who steps off, who steps up, and who walks off the field victorious?
I agree with you, Ryan. I do think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I think both of these offenses are better than both of these defenses, which is why it's so important for Cliff Kingsbury to take some risks, which is weird, right? You would think a guy who looks like his house could be on MTV Cribs would be more wild, but he's actually really conservative when it comes to game-time decision-making. I mean, even last week, right, like against Miami, again, Cliff Kingsbury, awesome play caller, super creative, but then final drive, game tied, 9 runs, 1 pass, and then he doesn't go for it. And frankly, this is a thing that happens pretty often with him. You can't do that against Buffalo. That offense is too good. You have a weapon in Kyler Murray, who's incredible in short yardage at picking up yards with his feet. Use him.
Yeah.
Take risks, because you're going to have to do so to win this game.
Yeah, Marcus, on the other side of things, what do you want to see out of Josh Allen in this one?
I just want to see him continue to build some confidence. Obviously, they had a great outing against the Seattle Seahawks, but when you look at the 2 weeks prior, we start to see it flatline a little bit. Dan had him on the Dan wagon. We were talking about him being in the top three conversation for the MVP. And you saw some of those things start to play themselves out again against the Seattle Seahawks. Now, everybody was wide open. I mean, I could have played quarterback in the damn game. But this is another opportunity for Josh Allen to continue to bring it on, because now we're getting to the point. Like, we're getting to the point, just like we're getting to the point on this show. Like, the cream of the crop got to start rising up.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody got to start showing if they for real or not. Like, that's where we are. So, look, it ain't this four, it ain't Dan, it ain't Keith. But if you jump up in this NFL live water, you better be able to do your thing both ways. Both sides of the ball, you better be able to analyze and entertain. You better be able to do a lot of stuff. Because we're going to separate the cream from the crop in the NFL right now. It's coming. Josh Allen got the ball.
Yeah, we're going to see how that all goes for all. I don't know if you just, like, fired me off this show or what, Marcus. But anyway, I'll try to step it up. Time for one more thing before we go.
Guys, we don't
Cam
exist
Newton
without you.
Is back to his nickname game. He's talking about one of his teammates right here.
We got one for Nick Folk after the 51-yarder?
Yes. Okay, well, it's usually kicker guy, but I wanted to call him kind of Paul Pierce guy, because he did kind of fake like he was injured but came back and balled.
Cam Newton and the nicknames are unbelievable. So, yeah. For Folk, he's calling him kicker guy. You can see there on our board, you got punter guy, you got snapper guy. I mean, Ryan, these nicknames are unbelievable out of Cam.
Here's the thing. First off, punter guy, snapper guy, kicker guy, that's not nicknames. That's just positional. That's Cam being lazy and refusing to learn their name. So I don't want you to be confused by that.
I used to feel like that
when I would walk downstairs. And I've been in meetings all morning, and the punter, the kicker, and the long snapper were checking their stocks. That's when I realized they didn't need names on our team.
Mina.
So I ain't mad at Cam for that.
L Boogie.
Hey.
America, I call Laura Rutledge L Boogie. I know her name, but nicknames are supposed to be terms of endearment. They're supposed to be people that's close to
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
I call her L Boogie. Cam just out here because he can't remember everybody's damn name. You right, RC.
Oh, no.
You are absolutely
Wait,
right.
Is Cam doing a pop out there? I didn't know.
Twin one
whatever. He fooled me.